You know what time it is? We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. Escaped from the asylum. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some damn fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
And I will have abandoned all hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steele and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. How are things at the coin shop, Miss Shelley?
Things are busy, busy, busy at the coin shop. I don't know if it's just spring and everybody's kind of in that peace of mind where they need to purge, you know, take care of their estates, you know, get rid of coins and just kind of clear out things or what exactly it is. It's a very, very busy time there. They're getting new stuff in all the time.
I think we need to have numismatic editorials at the top of the hour. I was thinking about fun coin collecting facts, and maybe I'll brush up on the details. But my favorite American coin is the Standing Liberty Quarter. Came out before 1930, ran from, what, about 1914 to 1929. And the first couple years, or maybe only the first year, Lady Liberty, she was such a hottie. She was topless
on
an American quarter.
People were so offended.
Exactly.
And, I mean, but it was beautiful. It was art. It was so beautiful. And you don't realize how beautiful the money used to be, especially when you see it in you know, closer to uncirculated condition. You see all of the details. And
right. And in Europe and France, Liberty is often portrayed topless. But America, with those values, topless lady on the coin.
Ever since the John F. Kennedy half-nude silver dollar, I think that...
what?
You don't remember? That was a very short run. Short run. The outcry was huge on that.
Right. Anyway, that I bet you've got some topless Liberty quarters at Wright's Coin Shop. I bet you do.
I bet we've got a lot of topless, a lot of things.
Whoa.
Wow. And next door at Nevermore.
Come check it out.
Wheat pennies, topless wheat pennies.
Next door at Nevermore Mystical Arts, you got some stuff to get people topless. You got some love kits in there, don't you?
I got some love stuff. Yes, I do.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Yes.
That's right. So if you don't have your Valentine yet, Shelley might be able to help you weave a spell to get the one you need closer to home there. Nevermore Mystical Arts. The number at Nevermore Mystical Arts, 505 50531182. I finally got the numbers. Thanks, Shelly. 50531182. That'll usually get Shelly on the line there at Nevermore Mystical Arts. Next door, Folks Coin Shop, Wright's Coin, 298-5402. 298-5402. Both in the little building there. The what do you want to call it? Not exactly a strip mall, but complex. The address 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, a couple miles out from I-40 exit 51, heading toward Skyland, Arden. Which comes first, Skyland or Arden?
Arden, Skyland, Fletcher, Metroplex.
Okay, so Arden is nearest to Asheville and then Skyland.
I don't know. I mean, if you want to go back in time, Sky City was where Ingalls is at on 25 now. So I always thought that Sky City was a reference to Skyland, and then Arden would be past Skyland.
I don't know. But Fletcher is Henderson County.
Fletcher's
though.
The furthest.
Yeah.
We know that.
Fletcher's Henderson County.
No, guys, there's part of Fletcher.
Guys, I'm going to launch right in here, and Shelly, get ready over there. El Booty Station launch of Salsa Playa 106.9, Tampa, Florida. The Weasley Media Group, Incorporated, a subsidiary of Beasley Broadcast Group, proudly introduces the newest station in Tampa Bay, Florida. Playa 106.9 will feature salsa, merengue, bachata, and more by artists such as Mark Anthony, Juan Luis Guerra, Gilberto Santa Rosa, Luis Enrique, y muchos más. Speaking of strange news team, expects me to be able to do rudimentary Spanish, but is that correct? Y muchos más and much more, right? Y muchos más.
I think muchos más.
And much more, in addition to all those mentioned artists. Tampa Bay is now dancing salsa with a new play of 106.9, said the market manager. Doesn't sound all that strange. Until we read, this new station will be called El Booty Salsa 106.9 Playa, Clearwater, Tampa, calling itself the official station for Latina strippers of Tampa Bay with a hip-hop mix of what's called booty-shaking bass. We will be playing the music that shakes the booties and drops the panties across Florida strip clubs as the strip club station. Our station will save strip clubs thousands of dollars in license fees and bring solidarity to area strip club community. You get that? They can just play the station and they don't have to pay out licensing fees to
DJ. I don't think
DJ.
That they're really paying out licensing fees.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Tampa Bay's most notorious strip club,
Mons Venus.
Yes, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you. Yeah.
They now don't even have a DJ. The girls have to go put their own money in, and they just choose off a jukebox on the wall.
Hmm.
I heard.
Well.
Yeah.
Mons Venus.
I've been told.
All nude. Mons Venus. Yeah.
Joe Redner.
Many a bachelor party.
That's a whole story Venus. In and yeah. of itself. You know? Joe Redner. He was a famed, disdained.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was a big playa. Just like El Bute. You ready, Shelly? Man with mop on his head seeks egg in Port St. Lucie, Florida. A man accused of having a mop on his head. A man accused of having a mop on his head was arrested after a neighbor reported the mop-wearing man terrified his family silly, a police report states. A man identified as the victim told Port St. Lucie police a man knocked on his door about 8 p.m. He opened the door and saw a man with a mop over his face as if it were a mask, a report states. The victim couldn't understand the mop-donning dude, so he closed and locked his door. He said the mop man kept banging on his door and windows, and he rang the doorbell with the end of the damaged mop. This guy looked really creepy, like he was a slender man or something. He was just skinny tall and was this weird long mop over his head. Guys, it wasn't me, okay? And he was going crazy on the porch and at our window screaming and hissing. One of my kids actually peed themselves. Bullet points here by the SOS News team. Mops are not commonly used as disguises or Halloween costumes.
Thanks, Vance.
Police found the alleged mop man identified as 65-year-old neighbor as he threw paper on a fire in his garage. The man said there was nothing illegal about having a fire in your garage and that he knew his rights.
Damn right.
Police had communicated with the man, had problems communicating with the man who was hearing impaired. They had to communicate by writing. The man cannot talk and simply makes loud noises when communicating.
With a mop on.
Loud noises!
This is what that made me think of when you were doing that story.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
You remember that from Raising Arizona? Son, you got a panty on your head.
Asked why he knocked at the neighboring home with a mop on his head, the man stated, because I was born a comedian and I like to tease people. I was short an egg and needed eggs to make a cake, and the fire in the garage is to bake the cake because I like doing things that are funny and weird. The victim identified the hard of hearing man as the person who terrified his entire family silly. Police arrested the man for terrorizing his neighbors, but have first taken him to Port St. Lucie Hospital, where he was admitted for mental evaluation.
Could you read what he said the way he would have said it, being that he can't talk properly and he had a mop on his head? So it'd be like,
I think
it sounds like the legendary Stardust Cowboy. Because I was born a comedian, I like to tease people. I was short of energy to make it in and bake my cake in the bar in the garage.
Yeah, that's about what I was
saying. I like to do things that are funny and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, police put out the fire in his garage. That was good fun. I like those. Mophead is good.
Mophead is good.
That's good.
Writing it down.
Good, clean fun.
Get
good,
it?
Good, clean fun.
Clean fun.
Mop. Clean. Oh, wow. I don't even know where to go.
I accuse you, sir, of having a mop on your head.
Accused of having a mop on his head. Oh, goodness, goodness gracious. Shelly, you ready? More booty in Florida stories. The Wax Ass Project goes live in Miami, Florida. What do laundromats, bus stops, and supermarkets have in common? That's just a rhetorical question. Besides being everyday locales, these seemingly innocuous sites are also hotbeds of sexual harassment. Wax That Ass, a project by artist Allison Bogenum, fuses sculpture, photography, and on-site intervention to explore the everyday discomfort felt in public places. Naturally, the act of carrying enormous wax butts and inserting them in public and commercial places isn't something everyone is fond of, especially in light of the swept-under-the-rug truth they are representing. The process was definitely interesting.
You think Florida's the best place for wax asses? The heat?
In spite of the struggles Bonham faced to make her images, the combination of humorous absurdity and poetic politics, the final photographs embody, seem well worth the effort. Wax That Ass, to bring attention to sexual harassment in public places.
Amen.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
teenagers from Mars don't care, but you might care if you are easily offended. It's the Dark 30 hour, and it, by way of warning, if you are potentially offended by outrageous material, this is the time to turn off your radio and put the kiddies to bed, because, whoo boy.
Whoo boy.
Whoo doggy. Okay, Mobius wants me to do a little, have a little fun with you guys here. This is fun for Sam and Shelley. No Googling. He says, don't cheat now. Is this a legit news headline? Liberals now attack Cracker Barrel over their name, want them to change it due to racism from Cracker Barrel to Caucasian Barrel.
I'm going to say, obviously, that would be false. Shelley?
I would hope it would be false.
Well, it was published as an actual news item.
Yeah, where Mobius gets his news from, I don't think.
We'll see. It goes on to say, as a joke, a man started a petition to change the name Cracker Barrel because it is offensive to white people. He proposed that the name should be changed to Caucasian Barrel in order to be more politically correct towards Southern foods. Although the man's petition was meant to be a joke, thousands have jumped on the bandwagon to make the popular eatery's name more politically correct. It seems like the man's joke has blown up in his face, and now Cracker Barrel, as you know it, might face real consequences. Oh. So far, 16,000 people have taken up the campaign against the offensive name Cracker Barrel.
It's a barrel of crackers. Hash brown casserole.
Yeah. I think it might be that might be an alternate fact, right? Alternative fact.
Is that alternative fact?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Something like that. Caucasian Barrel just doesn't have that ring to it, does it?
Whitey Barrel.
Harky Barrel might be all right. Whitey Barrel.
I think there was a famous baseball player back in the 20s.
Whitey Barrel played shortstop for like the Brooklyn Dodgers.
With no socks.
This is not me personally reading it. This is just my voice announcing this to you, because some of you. Virtual reality smell porn. Get a big whiff of the future. Think porn already stinks? It just got a bit smellier thanks to the miracle of virtual reality. Adult entertainment company Cam Soda is introducing a gas mask designed to enhance its online sex shows by allowing users to smell scents chosen by the performers. People who purchase its O-Roma technology will get the mask as well as two canisters that fit into it. With the help of an app, the mask pairs with Bluetooth on a user's smartphone. Users can then watch a cam performer in virtual reality and experience the odors they've chosen from their own personal scent profile. That can include everything from perfume odors to ocean smells to body odor and even the scent of sex organs. Cam Soda believes odor-oriented porn is the next step to making virtual reality more real than ever.
There's a picture of it. In case you want to feel more ashamed when you're done, you're wearing that thing. It looks like a World War II gas mask.
It does.
Yeah.
Oh, you ready, Shelley?
Mm-hmm.
A Florida-based cam performer thinks nose porn is an idea whose time has come. There are a lot of guys who watch my shows who tell me, God, I wish I could smell your panties.
That's a clip. That's a clip.
Oh, goodness. And some will drop $50 just to buy my panties. She says she will be soon offering users a chance to smell her shows by virtual reality. She took great care to scan the scents of all her objects with virtual reality odor scanners and digitize. What? Virtual reality odor scanners? Digitizing? I want to incorporate something that smelled as close to me as possible, she said. I do a lot of bleach a lot of bleach.
Whoa. I do a lot of bleach. What did you just stop saying there?
I do a lot of beach and pool shows, so I wanted to have the smell of salt water, sunscreen, maybe a chlorine smell, or coconut tanning oil, along with the smell of my own sexuality. And she also scanned in smells that matched her own body odor. I sort of wanted a fruity, musky scent that would blend with a flowery perfume. She said, I imagine I will want to change that smell when I hit MILF status.
God. That was like so many things in that story that you don't like saying that really I could tell.
I was very uncomfortable with that.
And what we're working on here at Speaking of Strange is an apparatus that you can wear, listening at home, that your cheeks will get as flush as Vance's when he says panties, and it'll turn your cheeks red like your
Vance. It's a combination. Oh, combination of words there that were just wrong.
Panties.
Panty? You got a panty on your head.
Boy, you got a panty on your head.
Oh, you got the smell of a panty on your head.
You know, do you think, like, if you, you know, a lot of these kids, they got those, you know, the big gauges in their ears, the big holes. If you were to, like, mess around with one of those, is that oral sex? A-U-R-A-L? Get it? Hearing, ear, mm-hmm. Oral.
Ba-dum-bum.
Psh.
What? A sheriff who admitted to being a meth addict stole meth from a police locker.
Seems reasonable.
Maybe this isn't all that unusual, but a newly elected West Virginia sheriff who admitted he was a meth addict and was charged with stealing drugs from a police locker pleaded guilty to a felony and resigned from office. The new sheriff entered the plea to a charge of entering without breaking Wednesday in Roan County Circuit Court. The county prosecutor said the just-elected sheriff was accused of taking methamphetamine from the storage area. He resigned in December, a month after being elected. He took office this month and pretty much instantly treated the evidence room as his local drug dealer. According to a criminal complaint, much of the missing meth was found in the man's desk and police vehicle. The complaint said several evidence bags found with the man contained case numbers corresponding to missing evidence.
He didn't even swap the bags.
No. Many of the bags are missing and assumed to have been used by the sheriff. He admitted he had been addicted to meth for more than a year and admitted removing methamphetamine from the evidence room, and the sheriff faces up to 10 years in prison. Ooh. When he's sentenced March 28th.
But his rationale, he's like, guys, do you know how much this stuff costs? I can get it for free. Jeez. In the closet.
There's nobody using it.
It's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there.
Taking up space.
Some people have a certain idea of what a drug addict looks like. This case shows that it can be anybody, the county prosecutor said. The sheriff. That's...
No, we don't have any experience with sheriffs like that in these
years. No. There's never been any sort of evidence gone missing or any... No.
Never.
No. It's been real stressful on the whole courthouse. The man also agreed to give up his law enforcement credentials. So not only did he resign as sheriff, but he won't be doing any sort of...
He lost his highway visible orange vest.
It's not just a demotion, it's out of the business.
It says police on the back. Turn it in.
Okay. Florida woman pulls a machete at a daycare. Sunrise, Florida. Took a custody battle to a new level when she pulled a machete on a daycare worker, police said. A 25-year-old woman attempted to pick up a child she didn't have custody over in Sunrise, Florida, and after being denied the child, the woman pulled a machete on the employee and threatened her. She didn't have custody, the grandma did, Chris Piper, the Sunrise police spokesman, said. The daycare acted correctly in denying her. The woman threatened to chop everyone into pepperonis and sell them as pizzas.
That's a good one.
The woman fled from the scene as soon as the cops arrived, which sparked a brief chase. Broward Sheriff deputies were able to stop her on I-95 just after 10 a.m. that morning of the incident. However, the woman wouldn't go down that easily. The woman locked herself up in the car. The police blocked her in. She was making faces at the deputies and giving them all the finger. They were trying to get her out of the car. This isn't the first time we've seen weapons at daycare. Last January, two armed men tried to rob a daycare in West Palm Beach.
Two armed men? Are we talking forearms or?
Several men with two arms. Oh, my goodness. More of the Dark 30 coming right up on Speaking of Strange. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. We had to throw some dead milkmen out there. This is what happens when you get me and Sam and Shelly, for that matter, because she likes some music. We get to talking during the break about bands, and I professed my love of the dead milkmen, and Sam said, I know what we're using for the intro. There you go, punk rock girl. Man dressed as beer bottle wanted for alleged pizza theft. Police need your help. Do you recognize him? A man dressed as a beer bottle is being sought by police after allegedly stealing two pizzas without paying for them. Police in the UK are looking to identify the reveler who was caught on closed-circuit TV at the Papa John's on New Year's Day. He is said to have entered a staff-only area and helped himself to the pizzas and left without paying. The man was last seen dressed in a green glass Heineken beer bottle costume with a silver twist-top hat and was carrying two pizzas. Police have no further information about the subject. That
if you were the investigator, what would your first... I would think, go to where they rent beer bottle costumes at.
I think since it was New Year's Day and he was just brazen enough to walk in and grab a couple pizzas, let it go, guys. If a dude walked in dressed as a Heineken, yeah, and took a couple pizzas, I think.
Well, Papa John's is not sponsored. Heineken is not an affiliate.
Oh, that's true. If he was dressed as a Michelob or, right. Yeah, something. Mobius thought I might like that one, being in the pizza world.
Does he know that you work for a competitor?
Yeah, I do like that they took Papa John's. But on a not funny note, did you hear the Papa John's over on Fairview Road got robbed the other week?
Really?
Three armed guys went in there and robbed them. And this is kind of a news of the stupid because they took the manager's cell phone back to their hotel room with them right around the corner. And the cops, when they showed up, the manager said they took my cell phone. They just pinged his cell phone and led them straight to him.
I got the last piece of money.
Criminals.
I worked at the one on Leicester Highway. We got held up at gunpoint.
That's scary business. Mm-hmm. I would say
delivery
driver has got to be one of the most dangerous jobs. Just to consider the fact that you're driving around in a small car on the roads, eventually Well, the chances of getting in a serious accident or being robbed or...
Well, I worked there. I mean, over the years, there was... That was the only in-store armed robbery I was a part of, or not part of, but it happened while I was on the clock. But two or three other drivers got held up at gunpoint on deliveries and stuff.
Right. And I'm thinking about, you know, with the ice and snow on the roads and everything, most pizza places, they're not going to help you out. Yeah, yeah, and if you slide your car off in the ditch, they're not going to do anything for you. You are an independent contractor.
I lost a door on my truck driving in the ice, and I said, I don't want to take any more deliveries. They made me go out. My car slid, and the door flew open. A tree ripped off on a delivery. I still had a whole stack.
No, man.
Good time.
So the pizza guys, take care of
them. Tip your pizza guy.
Tip the pizza delivery guy. Absolutely.
Definitely.
JoshuaPWarren.com, the website. Keep up
period
with
after
what,
the P?
What no. The Grand Poobah is doing. No, there's no period after the P. Is there? Let me check that.
No.
JoshuaPWarren.com. Nope, no period after the P. And he's got some online paranormal courses coming up, warreninstitute.com, correct?
Yes.
Man, we're all over cyberspace out there. Some folks may know that Joshua owns quite a few web domains. I would like to see a list of every domain registered to Josh, just for my own amusement. I bet it's several hundred. No joke. But on Facebook, I moderate the Asheville Mystery Museum. I'm trying to think of the name of that place.
Yeah, that's the name of it. That's where you work.
It's the Dark 30 Hour, and I'm over here reading these, and then I get kind of derailed a little bit. But, yeah, you want to go to the Asheville Mystery Museum Facebook page, facebook.com/mysterymuseum, I believe, will take you straight to it. And that's where I generally post pictures of a lot of the stuff that I talk about. So I'll make sure by the time... you get a chance to go over there and check it out, that I'll have pictures of the Santa and the Donkey Devil and some of those news clippings from Asheville's Mysterious Beasts up there, etc. You know, I like to kind of supplement the experience you have listening to Speaking of Strange for those who want to dig a little deeper, get a little visual material, proof, you know, that I'm not making this stuff up. Shelley got a giggle out of this one when reading over it earlier. Thieves scared away from shop by owner's sex doll. Again, it's the Dark 30 Hour, so if you are easily offended or you don't want to hear some potentially questionable material, or if the little ones are in the room, maybe it's time to tune out. Burglars who smashed their way into an art shop left almost empty-handed after they were scared away by the owner's 6-foot-tall sex doll. The owner reckons his store was saved by Sheila Louise, a massive, tall, beautiful blonde he keeps on a sofa. He bought Sheila last year to pose next to his artwork and attract customers into his shop. He believes Sheila is the stereotypical perfect girlfriend and that her lifelike qualities help deter the burglars. The store assistant said Sheila wouldn't have done much when they broke in, but she must have freaked them out. Since the break-in, the store set up a Facebook account for Sheila. The plastic and silicone doll has received love messages from fans in America, Asia, and the Middle East, but the owner insists she's a mannequin girlfriend rather than a sex doll to the store. The store owner and his assistants upload pictures of the model to her social media to promote Dima's art in Tarring, West Sussex. Sheila now has more than 1,500 friends and 250 followers from the UK, America, Asia, and the Middle East. The glass-eyed figure has been sent declarations of love and pictures of red roses on the social networking site. the 44-year-old store owner added, people comment with things like nice and beautiful, and one guy said, I'm here for you, darling. If people make rude comments, I comment back with something like, go away, mate, she's already married, or I'm her brother. I'm just trying to stick up for her, you know. Are they blind? I can tell she isn't real. Why can't they do this? Unless they're doing it for a laugh and playing along, or maybe they like mannequins. Maybe it's a fetish. Anyway, Sheila is an Australian slang term for a woman, and Louise was a girl the owner went to college with that the mannequin reminded him of. He said the mannequin is so popular because she looks like the perfect girlfriend, Dolly Bird type of girl who is always glamorous. And she's part of Neighborhood Watch, apparently, because she's scared those burglars out of there. I would have liked to have seen the footage of them being startled by this 6-foot love doll laying on the couch. And whoops, we're out of here. A fortune teller in Japan has been ordered to pay $700,000 in damages to a female client she forced into prostitution. Tokyo District Court ruled that the clairvoyant brainwashed the woman into believing she owed her money, forcing her to pay off the debt by working in the sex industry and then pocketing nearly all of her income, something close to $860,000. The psychic, who was not identified in the media reports, reportedly convinced her victim to move into an apartment she owned and then ordered her to work as a prostitute to pay rent and other costs. And she would tell her other male clients that they had connections to her from other lifetimes that could only be resolved by sexually completing their relationships. The fortune teller fueled the woman's fears by leading her to believe she owed her a lot of money from a past lifetime, and that her debt had to be repaid so her karma would be clear and she could move on. The victim, who had sought $100,000 in damages, started seeing the fortune teller in 2008 and came to depend on her advice. By 2011, she had moved into the flat and started working in the sex trade, which reportedly lasted till 2013. The fortune teller sometimes left the woman to live on the equivalent of just a dollar a day. Just a dollar a day. Oh, my goodness. For just a dollar a day, you can support a woman who has been brainwashed into working in the sex trade by her psychic. That's tragic.
That is tragic.
Creepy. An Owosso woman. Owosso woman arrested for kidnapping door-to-door salesperson in Arizona. A homeowner allegedly kidnapped a door-to-door salesperson after holding the woman against her will for an hour and then chased after her in the nude, according to police reports.
Chased or playfully ran?
A woman who invited a vacuum cleaner salesperson into her home Thursday and started ranting maniacally about religion. On a couple of occasions, the salesperson tried to leave after becoming uncomfortable, but she told police that the woman would not let her out and blocked the door. She told me that I would be spending all eternity with her in the spiritual safe house till Jesus himself came and took them to heaven. She said, there's no leaving. The door and windows are locked by God.
Ooh. So it was a vacuum cleaner?
salesman.
L. Ron Hoover?
She told officers they had unclean spirits, and the vacuum cleaner couldn't even... No, she slammed the door in the police officers' faces and before they had to force their way in and take her into custody.
She slammed the door.
Unclean. There's unclean spirits here. That's why I had the vacuum cleaner salesman over.
Fuck them up.
Speaking of strange, we'll be right back.
Come to silver. Come to gold. Come to do anything, sell your body and soul. Make you kill a man, it'll ruin your soul. Come to silver, come to gold. Silver, just as hard as you can. Come to do anything for a life of sand. You can have everything, big house up on a hill. Come with silver, come to kill.
Glenn Danzig wrote that song for the Jackson County Tourism Board, Come to Silva.
Really?
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
But we know somebody else who wrote something for the, what did you say? Something Tourism Board, Jackson County. Yeah.
What did I remind you?
Joshua wrote something for them. It was not a song.
Okay.
A Christmas puppy.
I know Caleb put Josh's song, Boca Raton song. We need to play the Boca Raton song sometime.
Oh,
mojito,
I like...
mojito, mojito.
I like it's that a nice song.
Yeah, Crazy Tom Banana Pants performed Boca Raton, Joshua's song about Boca Raton.
And, he wrote a song?
Yeah. Well, he at least wrote the lyrics. I don't know if he had like a musical sort of compositional outline or whatever, but yeah, the Boca Raton song. You don't know that, Sam?
You don't know the Boca Raton song?
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Kind of nice. It's like the Joshua version of the Pina Colada song.
But I was just looking up the Danzig song, and it's not Come to Silva.
You had to fact check me.
I fact checked you.
The alternative fact is he wrote that for the Jackson County Tourism Board.
It's come to silver.
Oh, okay. Come to Silva. I always laughed about that, though.
I thought you were being for real. I was like, man, I saw Marilyn Manson and Charlotte one time, and all he said the whole time was, "Hello, Shelby."
That's pretty great. Metallica, when they play around, they always, during Seek and Destroy, they always say, scanning the scene in the city tonight, whatever city they're in. So I've heard them sing, scanning the scene down in Lakeland tonight.
Nice.
I always thought Lakeland was the town to scan the scene.
First, you know? U.S. tour in 6 years this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you heard much of the new album? I've just heard a couple tracks. Oh, yeah.
I like it a lot.
Good stuff from Sam the Animal Steel. If you like Metallica, the new album is good. You probably know that, though, if you're a Metallica fan. Shelly, that was Danzig in any case, and it was Come to Silver. But
I just had to look it up.
That's one of those outtakes. Pretty nice voice anyway. And that one also goes out to Rebel Sinclair down in Charleston. Did you know Rebel is a huge Danzig fan?
I did not know that.
Yes. Her husband, Mark Jones, is a fantastic writer. He wrote a couple volumes of Wicked Charleston, which are like the stories about Charleston that the Board of Tourism doesn't want you to know about. Go to markjonesbooks.com. markjonesbooks.com. We got some good friends down there in Charleston. Popcorn Maker Box leads to arrest in, do you pronounce it Guelph? I know that I've seen it in writing, but Guelph, UK. Police officers who offered a fun greeting ended up in a foot chase in Guelph Thursday. A man spotted beside the street holding a popcorn maker box by officers on patrol. They stopped to wish the man a happy National Popcorn Day, which was recognized this year on Thursday, January 19th.
That's so nice.
National Popcorn Day. The man immediately freaked out and took off running. The officers, now suspecting the package may have been stolen, ran after the man and eventually caught up with him. $2,700 worth of drugs, including marijuana, was discovered. A 31-year-old Guelph man has been charged with 2 counts of possession for purpose of trafficking. Police suspected the man of no crimes and stopped, only to laugh and share some goodwill, and ended up making a major drug bust. The dude panicked.
What do you do? What are the rules?
Stay calm.
Don't panic. They just might want to be complimenting you on your happy popcorn day, and you got to look like a dummy. Go run away.
I think this one might take us right to the end of the hour. We appreciate you folks listening to Speaking of Strange here this week. World's most obscene climbing wall has handholds in the shape of boobs, bums, and penises. Happy Valentine's Day.
Designed by Joshua P. Warren.
A cheeky company are inviting climbers to scale Britain's most X-rated wall made out of stone penises. People with a very strong grip will be encouraged to mount the tough rock wall where all the handholds are made in the shape of penises, bottoms, vaginas, and breasts.
He said bottoms.
Bottoms and panties. The odd installation will be on display in London and Liverpool for Valentine's Day, and it's nicknamed Grope Back Mountain. It was originally created for the gallery in New York, but Brits can plumb the depths of sensibility by grabbing molds of actual genitalia. Huh. A spokesperson said the installation is inspired by modern climbing walls and made with custom holds, orifices, and appendages, many cast from volunteers' anatomies from the original show.
I would have thought that it would have been inspired by The Naked Gun, where Leslie Nielsen is out on the balcony and he falls and he has to hold on to the, you know, the gargoyle, but it's like the man, the sculpture of the holding on, yeah. The penis, the concrete.
Goodness gracious.
When are you going to try out that climbing wall?
I don't know. Can I catch a Learjet? And yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. Climbing walls are perceived as a place for sport, well-being, and fun, but they can be erotic too. That's it for Speaking of Strange this week. We'd like to thank Brian Hall, Joshua P. Warren, Mobius, Joshua Dindy, all our friends out there in listener land, Shelley Wright, Sam Steele. Let's do this again sometime, shall we? You are commanded!